In other words, what they were doing was they were saying, I'm good enough because of what I'm doing. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so what we do is we'll convince ourselves, I'm good enough because of what I do. I ask you if you've ever been saved, ever been born again, and I'll ask you, how do you know? And in your mind, you'll say, well, I go to church. I've been to church all my life. I've always believed in Jesus. I was baptized. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good employer or employee. I give to the church. I tithe in large means to the church. I'm a Bible school worker. How do you know you're saved? Well, I teach Sunday school. I sing in the choir. I played the piano. I've picked the guitar. I've sung solos. I'm faithful to the Lord. I believe in Jesus. I believe in His Word. Listen to me. The only problem with your salvation testimony is this. There's too many I's in there. See, when you ask me if I've been saved, or you ask a believer if they've been saved, there's no list of I's. We simply say we know we're saved because we are a sinner and Christ saved our soul. Because of what He did, I come with nothing to bring but my faith and repentance, and He saved me based upon that. Are you okay this morning? So there's this warning that's found in the book, and the writer is very, very plain. He says it's impossible for those who are enlightened. And then he says we ought to give heed unless we let them slip away. And here's what the Bible says. And how shall we escape such a great... How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Friend, listen to me. I want you to understand something right now. In this lifetime, we will make a decision whether or not we're going to trust in Jesus. In this lifetime and this lifetime only. Once we're dead, we cannot make that decision. Once we die, it is forever settled in eternity, whether we are lost or whether we are saved. And if you die lost and apart from Christ, then understand this, there is a judgment day coming. You'll stand before the throne of God at the great white throne judgment if you're lost, and you will be from that throne and that judgment which will be right. And it'll be true, and it'll come from a holy God because you neglected such a great salvation. Hell will be your assignment and your lot for all of eternity. It's still in the Bible, and I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm going to warn you. I promise you this. If I drive down the road and I see your house is on fire, do you really think I'm going to drive on down the road and come to my house and go in and sit back on the couch and relax and watch TV? I promise you this. If I come by and your house on fire, I'll kick your door in and I'll come in screaming. And I'll look for somebody to be inside to get them out, Brother Joy. I'm telling you right now that there is a place called hell. It's not mentioned today from our pulpits, but it's still in the Bible. And my friend, we have been saved from something. Do you understand that? We have been saved from an eternal damnation. That alone ought to put a kick in our step and joy in our heart, knowing that God rescued us when we deserved to be dead and in hell. And for those that are saved, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we will, my friend, we will be assigned eternity with our Lord. And so there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And what the writer wants these Jewish believers, these lost believers, these Jewish church members to know is you're doing everything right as far as what you're doing. You're coming to church. You've left most of the rituals of Judaism. But get away from those sacrifices and not only join yourself to the church, but the most important thing is to join yourself to the Christ of the church. I mean, I want you to understand something. Liberty Baptist Church cannot take you to heaven. Liberty Baptist Church cannot get you to heaven. Do you understand that? We love you, and we're going to preach and sing the gospel, and we're going to lift up Jesus. But salvation is a personal thing, my friend, where you and the Lord are going to have to get together one day out of conviction and confess with your heart, Lord, I believe Jesus died and rose again. Save my soul, Jesus. Now, I'm telling you this today because there's an easy believism movement out there right now. And that TV evangelism that you see that's so popular, that feel-good stuff. And my friend, listen to me. You need to understand the gospel of Jesus. Do you understand that? Some of these preachers get on TV and they talk about everything but the Bible and everything but the Lord. And then at the very end of their TV program, they say, if you want to trust in Jesus right now, just bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer. Well, friend, what about conviction? What about, listen, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's here for three reasons. To convict or convince or cause to see of sin, judgment, sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And that's what the Spirit does. He convicts us of our heart that we're a sinner. We cannot save ourselves. He convicts us of the righteousness of God, which is found in Jesus. And he convicts us of judgment to come. And from that, we can be saved. Do you understand? Now, I want to show you what the Bible says here. There's this warning of salvation. And this warning is saying, stop. 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 Do you understand that? And so briefly on a Sunday morning, I'll act like a madman. I'll act like a crazy man if I have to, just to get you to stop, to get you to see, my friend, that these were Jewish church members with good intention, no ill will. They were doing what they thought was right, but they had never taken that final step and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and to be born again. And because the Lord gives a warning, I'm going to echo out that warning. I understand we won't draw 1,000 people here preaching a message like this because everybody wants to be told that they're good and if you feel good, then you are good and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm not blowing smoke this morning. I'm giving you the word and I want you to know I love you so much. I don't want to see you neglect one final invitation and you leave this church and die and be lost for all of eternity. I don't want to see that. If I could discern hearts, and I cannot, if I knew everybody that was lost in this church, I would run and I would shut those doors and I would not let you out until every last one had been saved and born again. But I don't know, the Lord does, and only you know. Only you know. That's the warning. Now, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the way of salvation. Now, watch, in chapter 6, verse 4, the writer speaks of them being enlightened. The writer speaks of them having tasted the heavenly gift. The writer speaks of them having been partners or partakers in the moving of the Spirit. The writer speaks of them having heard the good word and even seen the powers of the world to come. And the Bible says that if you've seen all of that and you turn away, that it is impossible for you to ever be saved. So what's the writer saying right here? Watch. The writer is saying that in their intellect they believed. In their intellect. But I want you to understand something. Where the Bible says that the demons in hell believe and they tremble, literally it is referring to the fact that they believe the gospel truths. Do you get that? The demons in hell, they believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died on Calvary as a substitute, as a sacrifice for my sins and your sins, and that he rose again on the third day. The devils believe that. But they can never be saved. It's only an intellectual knowledge. They cannot repent, which is needed for salvation to be saved. And so this writer says, you have believed. You have the intellectual knowledge. And then the writer says, your emotion has even been touched. You have been stirred by the moving of God's Spirit. Friends, I want to tell you something. I want you to understand something. When you come in a service like we've been having at Liberty Baptist Church, God pours His glory out. Do you understand that even a lost man, woman, boy, or girl can feel the moving of that Spirit? Do you understand that? Listen, when you go to the hospital and your family member's having a baby, not only does the mama and daddy have that joy that only a mom and daddy can know and have, but you experience that joy too, just by being around it. You celebrate. And so when God's Spirit moves in a mighty way, listen to me, even people who have never been saved can get wrapped up in the emotion of the moving of God's Spirit. Am I being clear about this? Yes, I don't leave no confusion. And so if you're here right now and you have been stirred by God's Spirit in past weeks, it's possible to even be lost and be stirred by God's Spirit and the emotion of it all, because the things of the Lord, it is intellectual, but it's also emotional. God's made us emotional beings. He made us like that. It's still possible to be lost having ever experienced that. But listen, what they did not do, what these believers did not do, is they never committed it onto a matter of will. So that's why salvation always works. It's a matter of intellect. We learn the gospel. We acknowledge the gospel facts, the truth. Our emotion is stirred emotionally. But then it's a matter of will. We commit ourselves to Jesus and we say, I need to be saved. Because I know the gospel. The Lord has stirred my heart. And as a matter of heart, not a matter of intellect, a matter of heart, I need to be saved. Save me, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to complicate salvation by any means, but I just want you to understand these believers had been part of the church. They had seen miracles that had been worked, and yet they had never been a time in their life when they fell down and said, I've never been saved, and I know I need to be saved. I heard a preacher's wife give a testimony from Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi. And the story has got, she was raised in another denomination. She married a Baptist preacher and had never had a salvation experience, joined the church and began working with her husband, and she worked with youth, and she led youth to the Lord. And God began convicting her that she was lost. She said, Lord, I can't be lost. I've done this, 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 and this. There's no way I can be lost. Again, a list of good works. And she said God had just dealt her and brought her to this place where she could not run from it anymore. And in a bathroom stall, she wrestled it out with the Lord at Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi. And she said, Lord, I can't be lost because I have led people to you. And the Lord told her, by her own testimony, the Lord said, you did not lead people to me. You opened up my word, and my word led people to me. You have never been lost. I mean, you have never been saved. She left that bathroom stall, went right into the sanctuary, into the tabernacle, made her way down the aisle and got on that altar and got saved and born again by God's amazing grace. She had been around it all. Even been a part of it, but she had never been saved. I think about the testimony of a man Sarah and I talked the other night. I am not judge. I do not discern men and women's hearts. Only God is and can do that. But I remember when we used to have services like we had here Wednesday night, just more spontaneous testimony services, Brother Josh. People start standing up talking about when God saved them. I remember a man in our church who was a deacon. And I prayed to dear God above that man got his heart right before he died. But when others were standing up telling about God saving their soul, man, he would stand up and he would say, I'll never forget the look on my mama's face the night I went to the altar. The next time when people were telling about being saved and God saving their soul, he stood up and he would say, I'll never forget the day I got baptized. Josh, I was always bothered that he never had a testimony about how God saved his soul. That troubled me and that worried me. And man, what I'm asking you today, I'm not asking you, do you remember when you were baptized? I'm not asking you, do you remember when you joined the church? I'm not asking you, do you remember when your friends got saved? I'm not asking you, have you done good deeds? Do you tithe? Are you faithful? I know that you were all of those things. I'm asking you, have you ever got down and said, God, save me. Save my soul, Lord Jesus. I need to be saved. And have you ever done it from a cry from your heart? With the heart, a man is saved. Have you ever done that? Elizabeth, you and Abigail come. Or you or Abigail come if you have a hymn of invitation. So there's the warning of salvation. There's the way of salvation. And I'm glad God warns us. And hear me right now. Listen to me right now. I want you to understand something. That when God visits and he knocks on your heart over and over and over. If you're here this morning and you have had to sit there through services like this these past weeks, past months, and you have had to convince yourself that you are saved, and my friend, chances are you are not. I do not have to sit around and convince myself I'm saved. I'm telling you that right now. I was there when it happened. And I know what Jesus did for me. And somebody may say, well, you know, preacher, I just don't know about this. You know, I believe in Jesus, and I think just believing's enough. Believing's not enough, the Bible says. Because the devils believe. If it's just intellectual head knowledge. Listen to me, the Spirit of God has to be involved in salvation. He is the Spirit of grace. The Spirit must move upon us and convince us we're lost, convince us we need Jesus, convince us that He indeed died for our sins, and then lead us to a place and a time somewhere, sometime, where we cry to Him and say, God, save my soul. Save my soul, dear Jesus. For some, it's more dramatic. For some, it's less dramatic. That's up to God, how God works that out. But my friends, the thing is it's got to be from our heart. There's this warning, and so I want you to know, and I warn you, and I beg you, for those who would say, well, I've got plenty of time, I'm just going to think about it, I'm just going to sit on this, I'm just going to wait a while, this is just not, I can't do it today. Understand that one day, someday, will be that last offer of salvation. Somebody may say, preacher, you're just trying to scare everybody. No, if I can scare you into it, it won't stick or last. But I'm going to tell you a truth that's in the Bible. The Bible says, Brother Bo, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Buddy, I want you to understand where I was at. I honestly, until I come under Holy Spirit conviction in my life about being a lost man, I had never been afraid of anything in my whole life. And God knows my heart, I'm not chalking that up to bravery. I'm chalking that up to stupidity. Because I was a stupid kid, I was a stupid teenager, and I was a stupid young man. And I didn't know any better that I needed to be afraid of certain things. And I want you to understand something. There was a holy God reached down from heaven and convicted me that I was a lost man and I would die and go to hell if I died without Jesus. And fear struck my heart like I had never experienced it. It crippled me. And then it was miserable. Now I see it was a gift. And I'm glad for that. Salvation should be a fearful thing. Our eternity should be a fearful thing is what I'm talking about. Salvation is wonderful. But if we have never been saved, then we need to search out our own salvation with fear and trembling because eternity in hell is fearful. Friend, I'm not asking you this morning, do you have intellect? I'm not asking you, have you ever been stirred by emotion? I'm asking you, have you ever got down and said, Lord Jesus, I have never been saved. Save my soul, Jesus. Somebody testified maybe more than one about the night they got saved or the day, the time they got saved, about being in church, holding on to that church pew so tight, afraid and scared and didn't know what to do and didn't want to move and go and be saved. I want you to understand something. I have seen lost people sit in church and weep and cry and weep and cry. God moved, and God was moving in the singing, and they would weep and cry. God would move in the invitation, and they would weep and cry. But yet they would never move, never make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So just because you've wept at some point, tears alone won't save you. I visited a man one time in our community. He was lost, and folks had come to me and let me know he was lost. A good man. He did some wrong things. But he was a good man. I could have called him at midnight and said, come help me, I need your help. And he owed me nothing, but he'd have come help me. I went to his house and he took me down, he'd remodeled, and took me down into the basement. We got into the basement and it was right there in that basement where I just shared Jesus. He began to weep and he began to cry. He was well-rounded individual, I could use those terms. And as he cried, his belly would shake, knowing he needed to be saved. He gave me some reasons why he couldn't be saved right then and there. He said, I got some things I got to straighten out first. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if God lets you live to be 100 years old, you will be 100 years old and you still won't have things straightened out. The only way to get anything straightened out is give your life to Jesus. He said, just not now, preacher. I will, he said. I will one day, but not right now. 3 weeks later, he climbed up on a ladder working. And Brother Terry, they believed that he had a massive heart attack. And before he hit the ground, he was dead. I don't know what happened in those 3 weeks. I hope that he got his heart right. I hope that sometime on that ladder, maybe the chest pain hit him and he saw Jesus in all of his glory and got saved. I hope that's what happened. But if he climbed that ladder and died with the testimony he left to me, not right now, preacher. I will one day, but not now. Then he died a lost man. He died a lost man. I'm going to tell you what needs to happen here this morning. What needs to happen here this morning is that somebody here, you've had an emotional experience or an intellectual experience. You were raised in church. You've worked in church. You've tithed in the church. You believe in Jesus. I'm not saying anybody here is an atheist. You believe in Jesus. You believe that he died and rose again. You believe that. But the truth of the matter is, there has just never been a place in a time where from your heart of hearts you cried and said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I don't believe you have to go through this long drawn. If you believe in Christ, I don't think you have to go through this long drawn out prayer of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, Z. I don't believe you have to do that. I think if you believe Jesus died and rose again, and you realize in your heart that without him, you're a sinner and you cannot be saved in and of yourself. That you can only be saved if Jesus saves you. I believe if you believe that, all you got to say is, Lord, save me. Save me, Lord Jesus. And so you have really never had a time and a place where that happened. Yes, there was a time when you come to the altar during Bible school or some big youth movement of some sort. Yes, there was a time when you were baptized. Yes, there was a time when they give you a little card to fill out to become a member. Yes, yes, you've taught in Sunday school. Yes, you've sung in the choir loft. Yes, you give your tithes. Yes, you say your bedtime story. You say your bedtime prayers with your little children at nighttime. Yes, 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 you do everything right. But there's just never been a place where you got down and said, Lord, save me. Lord, please save me. I've got to settle this, Lord. I have got to settle this right here, right now. From my heart of hearts, my heart has never been pierced by the gospel. And I want to tell you something. The gospel will pierce your heart. When you realize Jesus died for you and that the Spirit is moving for you and that God would bring a message to you so that you too can be saved and be born again. That'll break any man, woman, boy, or girl. 26 years old. Brother Mike Ward, you've talked about what the army does to a man. Man, I felt like I was invincible from what I had been through and lived through. And when the Spirit of the living God poked my heart and convicted me and said, you're lost, you need to be saved, I crumpled like a baby in the floor. And I'm glad for that to this day. That's a work of grace that God would humble a man. Amen. So he can open his heart and save his soul. Amen. So I'm asking you, do you know that you have been born again? Not recited some prayer. Muslims recite prayers 3 times a day. You understand that? They are not saved. They will die in that dead faith and go to hell for all of eternity unless somebody wins them to Jesus. I'm not asking, did you recite a prayer? I'm not asking, did you come because everybody else come? And you did it too. I'm asking, man, this is about you. This is personal. This is one-on-one. I mean, it's between you and the Lord. Now, it's in your intellect. and your emotions have been stirred because you've been around the moving of God's sweet spirit services like this morning. But what about in your heart of hearts? Have you ever said, Lord, save me. Save me. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Please save me, Lord Jesus. Have you ever done that? So what am I supposed to do, preacher? Here's what you're supposed to do. Don't put it off again. Don't put it off this morning. Now you slid out and you walked away from it Sunday's past or Wednesday night's past or days past. Don't do it this morning. I think it's critical this morning. I think it's imperative this morning. Because I believe that the Spirit in leading us this scripture, He's lifted up that warning. I mean, listen to me, if the bridge is out up here down the road, don't you want the state to have a sign out that says bridge is out? Warning, danger, stop. Do not go past this point. Yes. I'm telling you what the Lord's done this morning. The Lord said, stop. Danger. Don't go past this point. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. And one day, my friend, you'll be thankful for a day like this when God does that. He wants to save you. He loves you. He wants to give you mercy. See, what the enemy's title, Satan, the deceiver, that's his job and he does it well. And what he wants everybody to think is that you all have been saved. Every one of you have been saved. Now everybody's got their own reasons why they've been saved. Because I've worked in church. Because I've been in church all my life. Because I try to do right. Because I try to do good. Because I tithe. Because I give to the Lord. Because I believe in Jesus. He's given everybody in this church reasons why you think you're saved. And he wants you to be deceived until he can walk you to the deathbed and the grave. And you'll die lost without Christ. Oh, friend. The burden of heaven has rested on my heart. You need to be saved today. I close with this. D.L. Moody told about a fire in Chicago, not the great Chicago fire that he wrote so much about, but about a house being on fire. And how that the son of this man was trapped on the second story in that house as the house was consumed in flames. The son had made his way out onto the roof of that first floor. He was screaming and crying for somebody to save him. The flames were flickering and burning and the smoke was thick. And as he stood on that roof of the first floor and he looked toward the ground where he could hear help, he couldn't see anything. Not a thing. And his dad, being on the ground looking up, could see his son highlighted against the sky and the flame that was around him. And his dad was saying, jump, son, jump. And the little boy said, Daddy, I can't. I can't. And he said, son, you gotta jump. If you don't jump, you're gonna die. Son, jump. And the little boy said, Daddy, I can't jump. And his dad said, son, why can't you jump? He said, Daddy, because I can't see you. And here's what the daddy said. He said, you don't have to see me. I can see you. So jump. And the little boy did and was saved. Friend, I want you to understand something right now from the front pew to the back of this church. The Father sees you in your lost condition. He does not want you to be lost. He does not want you to die lost. I can emphatically say today that it is the will of God for you to be saved today. It's the will of God that none should perish, but that all, A-double-L, all, should come to repentance and be saved. God wants you to repent and be saved today. What do you need to do? You need to jump. You need to jump. I'm going to ask you to stand, and as soon as you stand, I want you to make your way down these aisles. Come right now, come.